a special on-the-shelf episode of...
Brutal Battle.
Yes, so another one of the on-the-shelf episodes. I like to try and do these every now and then because I feel like it helps people out. You know, what is hitting the shelves? At least for in our area, Maryland.
Does it help people out, or is it another excuse to buy beer?
Well, no, I mean, we would be putting out an episode. It's just, this is an episode. You know, we'd be buying beer no matter what. It's just, this is what we're going to do.
Depends what type of beer.
Yes. So the aim is to help people out, to say, hey, we noticed these beers just hit shelves, at least where we are, and we'll try them. We'll let you know what we think of them. And if it sounds good to you, then, hey, we're down. So, unfortunately, there's not a huge difference in variety. Yeah, because, I mean, really, this becomes a problem, especially in spring and summer, where a lot of what you're getting, since IPAs are so popular right now, you're just mainly getting IPAs, pretty much. So we have three IPAs and one beer that's something else. And with this, I actually went with some breweries that are bigger, have a much larger distribution footprint than what we've been doing in the past. So one of the beers is pretty freaking local for us. And then the other three, pretty much anyone listening to this podcast in the United States and potentially in Canada should be able to get. So,
okay,
let's get into it.
Let's get going.
The first beer is the one that's more local for us. This is actually a collaboration. I actually just noticed it's a collaboration. So it's brewed by Three Stars Brewing Company. And I think I've only had, like, one of their beers before, and it was on tap at a liquor store, so I only got, like, a two-sip taste of it. And, like, it was solid. It was some sort of IPA. But
I don't think I've... Was I there when you did that?
No.
Okay.
So I don't think you've had any Three Stars. So I've pretty much had none. So it's their Brothers Got a Hug, and it's a hazy IPA because...
Is that what it says on there?
Yeah.
It's actually called hazy IPA
instead of New England style or any IPA. Yeah. Three Stars is out of Washington, D.C. And this beer they actually did. Excuse me, my voice cracked.
How old are you?
Going through puberty again. People don't know there's a second puberty that hits in your late 30s. No, there's not.
Are you admitting to being late 30s?
Yeah, how are you going to hide your age? It's just
I've been wondering when it becomes late 30s versus mid 30s.
Well, I'm 37, so it's definitely late 30s because it's not really mid. I would say mid is probably 34 to 36.
Okay.
That's my guess. But anyway
sorry.
This Brothers Got a Hug is done in collaboration with Manor Hill out of Ellicott City. So 7.5% alcohol. It's in a 16-ounce can. I figured, you know, if you listen to this podcast enough, that I haven't been super huge on New England-style IPAs. But I figured since it is such a popular style like right now, and I had heard some people say that they enjoyed this beer, that I should definitely have a New England style IPA on there. So.
Okay.
But like I was saying before, did I finish my thought on the hoppy, on the three hoppy beers versus one not?
Yeah.
Yeah, just this time.
Yeah, you said that.
But we are, with the on the shelves, we should start to get a little more diversity as we go on. We get into fall.
Well, those pumpkin beers are already hitting the shelf.
I feel like, yeah, no, that's true. It's in August and it's, yeah, that drives me
nuts. It's August 5th right now when we're recording.
Maybe we should do a whole on the shelf of pumpkin beers, even though I'm not a pumpkin beer fan. People, let us know if you want that. We don't really like pumpkin beers all that much, but we would do that for you. I'll do one all for stouts, all stouts for you guys, happily. That would be awesome when we get in the winter.
Hazy.
Yeah. It's pretty orange. It's like very orange, not yellow at all.
I feel like every single one of these beers smells the same.
They do smell very tropical, very citrusy, you know.
Like
it's
juicy. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm salivating smelling
it. That's the whole point. There's a little, I feel like a slight bubble gum in the nose for this one, but
yeah,
lots of like it's, citrus.
Yeah, it's not as citrusy as some of the other type of beers of this style, I will say.
And I'm sorry, I don't want to. Well, I'm going to do it. I was going to say I don't want to do this, but...
I'm going to say aspirin.
No, I smell a slight Band-Aid.
Oh, damn it.
It's kind of weird.
Aspirin,
I don't know.
And Band-Aid.
Maybe that's partially the alcohol interacting with
the hoppiness. Did you say the ABV?
Yeah, 7.5.
7.5, okay.
Yeah, so it's a little, you know, it's not like super low.
Well, I'm digging the mouthfeel.
Oh, yeah, that mouthfeel is like perfect.
Kind of medium. Like, yeah.
Just straight medium.
Nice tropicality on the front end. But then it has a decent bitterness, I think.
It does. It's got a bit of an alcohol burn at the end,
too. It
does.
It's a little astringent.
That's a little weird for a 7.5.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, though. I kind of like this. It doesn't taste like a straight up, like the types of hazy IPAs that I'm used to.
Yeah.
There's one thing that I've been getting in a bunch of hazy IPAs that I've had, which is like an inappropriate weird bitterness that tastes to me like, and I know some breweries are doing this, they put all-purpose flour in there, and it's a gross flavor, and I'm pretty sure I can tell when that's in the beer, and it's nasty. So I've gotten that in a lot of the hazy IPAs, so when people are getting their haziness a different way other than basically cheating and throwing flour in there, then it's usually good. Like, I'm usually more okay with it. But, and this is one of those, like, I don't perceive any of that.
The astringency on this is kind of offensive.
A little bit, but as I continue to sip it, my perception of it starts to go down. Because you got to remember, this is the first beer for us.
That's true. Ooh, I splashed.
Oh, you're making the mess now.
God, how nice. I'm so messy. That's true. We'll come back to it.
Yeah. On the first beer is when you're going to taste the most things that you don't like, pretty much. Sourness, bitterness, all that kind of stuff. But I do like this. Like you were saying, that mouthfeel is really nice. Like, it's very key. It's almost a tad bit chewy. I know I've said it before where you kind of, like, I like when I kind of feel like I have to chew my hoppy beers.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, there is a decent bitterness on the end of it that makes me feel like it's not a straight hazy IPA, that there's a little bit of a West Coast influence in there. Manor Hill and 3 stars.
Okay.
Pretty solid, you guys.
I think you liked it more than I did, but that's okay.
But I will say, plenty of citrus in that. A little bit of that bubblegum did come in at the end. I did not taste any of that Band-Aid that I said I was smelling.
I didn't taste any of the bubblegum. But anyway, okay, moving on. So our second beer is Southern Tears.
This is one of the ones I wanted to make sure I got because it's pretty widely distributed.
Okay, it looks like it's a Science is the Art collection.
Yeah, I guess they're doing a series of these. This is the first one I've seen. So.
Okay, it's episode 4 of 6.
So this is a first for me. Oh, is it ABV? Oh, did you say what it is?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Hold on.
I'm out ahead of it. I'm just ready to drink more beers.
I don't even see the... Oh, yeah. This is 8.5.
Cool.
Okay, so it's Help is on the Way. It's an unfiltered double IPA brewed with mango, tropical hops, and lactose.
It sounds good. So I really hesitated on picking this up because I'm not the biggest fan of Southern Tier, typically. I like some of their bigger stuff. Like, I think their Creme Brulee is a pretty good beer.
Yes.
I thought they did a pretty good job with their Chocolate Orange, which is like
an
imperial stout with chocolate and orange. So, like, some of their stuff I'm good with, but a lot of their other offerings, I just haven't been big on. Like, I just kind of feel like with that brewery in particular, it was a situation where they were pretty good early on, and then all these other breweries started popping up and getting well-known and being like, oh, man, this is amazing. This is awesome. And they never progressed. Like, their level of quality just kind of stayed the same. They weren't, like, pushing themselves to do better. It was just always like, it's a beer. But I see they have stuff in 16-ounce cans now, which is the first I've seen that from them. That's what this beer is in. And that just made me think, you know what? They're doing something different with their cans. Maybe it's a sign to me. I need to give them another shot. Just take a look back.
Well, I'm sure it's always hard as a brewery to kind of like maybe stay true to your brand and how you started, as well as keeping up with the trends.
Yeah. Yes. And I know that's something that some breweries that I'm very aware of, they've had that struggle.
Yeah.
where they're kind of like...
The struggle is real.
Well, and it's mainly a struggle for breweries that are older.
Right, right.
You know, they've been around for a while, and then all of a sudden, you know, because they were kind of in this mode where, like, there weren't that many craft breweries, right. So they could just kind of do whatever, and people would flock to them.
Not a lot of competition.
Right, and then once competition got stiff, then they're like, ooh, we might have to do something different now.
It's kind of, how do you stay relevant?
Yeah, that's 100% what it is.
There was a band we were talking about recently.
A band staying relevant?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And we were like, their music is still good after all these years. They're still relevant.
Journey?
Was it Journey?
I don't know. It may have been Journey, but I agree with Journey.
Okay. Anyway, back to the beer.
Okay. Yeah. It's clear.
It's very, very clear.
Because there's mango in it? Yeah.
And lactose.
Mango and lactose in there. I figured it would be cloudy. I guess maybe if there is any sort of cloudiness to it, it's sediment in the bottom, which is quite possible.
It's pretty yellow, I think.
Yeah, it's...
Yellow-orange-ish.
Yeah, yellow-orange. It's got some large bubbles sitting on the top.
Yeah, not a lot ahead. So this is how I wanted the first beer to smell.
It does smell good.
Oh, it smells like... I love my IPAs to smell like this.
So a lot of grapefruit in there. The mango. Grapefruit, mango.
Pineapple.
Pineapple, yes. There's a nice malt note in there, too, though.
It smells kind of sweet, kind of citrusy. Mm.
I agree with that. It actually smells, to me, it smells really good. I don't smell any sort of creaminess that would indicate the lactose. But this just smells like a nice West Coast-ish style IPA. A lot of nice notes coming out of there. You tried it. Ooh. It's a little too sweet there. Rebecca doesn't even want to say anything because she looks perplexed.
I'm just looking at the can. I don't know. Something is...
Trying to figure out how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it tastes like a lot of mango puree is what it tastes like to me.
I feel like it tastes kind of chalky.
Okay. Maybe that's coming from the lactose.
Yeah.
I don't hate it, but I don't particularly enjoy it.
It's kind of how I feel about both of these beers. I can't say I don't have like a yes, go out and buy this beer, but I could see why someone would like it. Like it's drinkable. It's not like blowing me away. I don't think it tastes like 8.5%.
It's very syrupy.
It's just, it has like a weird, like, texture.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's kind of like, did you ever have, like, those mixed fruit cocktails in cans? And it has that, like, sugar syrup in there that ends up tasting like the fruit. It's kind of like, the mouthfeel that I get from it and the amount of sweetness is kind of like a canned mango sugar syrup. And I just, I see where the lactose is making it a little bit kind of... creamy, but it's, I don't know. I can't really dig on it too much because it's just, it's kind of weird.
It's almost a little grainy.
Which, if they have a lot of mango in there, that's where that could be coming from. But like I said, like,
pulpy,
I don't hate it.
No.
It just depends on what you want. Like, this literally tastes like a beer. Like, okay, let me backtrack for a second. So, when you have beers that people say it has mango in it, you know, a lot of the time you'll drink the beer and the mouthfeel and the flavor still taste like a beer primarily. And then you're like, oh, and I can see where the mango is. There's some notes of mango coming through, or there's like a low level. This kind of seems more like it's like a sugary mango syrup, and then they blended some beer into that. So it's mainly that mango fruit, and it doesn't really present a whole lot like a beer.
I don't know. I mean, it still tastes like a beer to me.
So syrupy and sweet, though. Mm. I just and that's what's killing me on this beer. Well, okay. I guess I don't have to go back to Southern Tier for a while again. Give them some more years.
I'm going to let you. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Okay. No, you're going to let me do that one. So this is by Unibrew.
Unibrew?
Yeah, Unibrew, Unibrow, some people will say. I don't think it's actually Unibrow. They're out of Chambly, Canada, is where they're out of. And these guys have been around for a long time. Much like Southern Tier, they've been around for a long time. I think Unibrew's actually been around longer than Southern Tier has. And they've been in the States for a long time. I remember back when I really started getting into craft beer in 2005, I think is when it was, that they had a bunch of beers out in our area, and I was drinking their Le Fin du Monde, which is a beer a lot of people know about because it's kind of like the Canadian Golden Monkey, you know, Victory Brewing's Belgian triple that's so well known in the States. But before Golden Monkey, there was Le Fin du Monde, which was a Belgian triple that was really good by Unibrew. And actually, I mean, people were mainly buying it because they're just like, there's so much alcohol. It's like 10%. You can just drink one and be drunk. So that was the climate back then. So I say all that.
Still the climate now for some people.
So I say all that to get to the point of, it's been a long time.
Okay, since you've had one.
Since I've had any Unibrew. And the other thing is, I think people forget about this brand.
I feel like I've never even heard of them.
So I'm doing the same thing like I was doing with Southern Tier. I'm like, I haven't had it in so long. Let me go back to it. Plus, a lot of people don't remember it. Plus, a lot of people don't go into the imports. And that's where it is. So, let me get the rest of this water out of here. So what I have for you
I'm excited about these flavor profiles. I like these flavors.
Yeah, this should be good. So this is their Ephemere, and their Ephemere traditionally was a Belgian-style wheat ale that was done with green apple.
Mm.
And I remember having it, and it was good. Sounds a long time ago. Yeah. So this is a different version of the Ephemere. And they say it's a Belgian-style fruit beer flavored wheat ale. It is 5.5%, and it's their Fraise and rhubarb. It's strawberry rhubarb. Belgian wheat ale. Yeah.
Mm. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah. Ooh. There we go. Strawberry and rhubarb is a good combo. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, not only do I want to try Unibrew again, but this sounds like an interesting flavor profile. Or a good flavor profile, really. So, oh my gosh. I just moving it past me to put it in the light, I was getting whiffs of fruit.
Oh, man.
It's very strong. All right. It's very orange. Mm-hmm. Clear. I guess not fully clear, but pretty clear. A lot of head to it when I poured it.
Man. It smells like strawberry rhubarb. Like,
wow. That's a beautiful smell.
I can't get anything else. It's just so strawberry rhubarb.
I do get a slight Belgian yeast medicinal note on the very, very end, but it's very much smothered by the strawberry and rhubarb. It smells so fresh.
See, I was actually just going to say it smells a little artificial.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. The strawberry.
I guess I'll know mainly when we taste it.
Yeah. Well, it kind of smells like, you know, like the strawberry from like a Dum Dum lollipop.
Yeah. Or like a Jolly Rancher type strawberry.
Yeah. I don't think Jolly Rancher makes strawberry, do they?
They did when I was a kid. You can definitely taste the Belgian influence in there.
Yeah.
The Belgian wheat.
I don't care if it's artificial or not. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It does taste...
Now, this is sweet.
That's not as sweet as the Southern Tier.
Oh, this is really good.
It is good. It's... So the nose is like super, super, super fruity. The taste is a decent amount of fruit, but it's not a crazy amount. It's not overwhelming you. And you really get that beer in there. You can really tell it's a beer. And that Belgian yeast flavor is in there, that profile.
This would be a great... I mean, this is... I mean, being a beer drinker for, I don't know, many years now, I enjoy it, but I could definitely see myself really enjoying this when I first entered my craft beer journey.
Yeah.
You know, as that entry point, because it has all that great fruit characteristics. You have that Belgian backbone, which tends to be easier for some folks to kind of handle when you're first kind of entering craft beer. So
I agree with that.
This, I would definitely recommend this for...
Yeah. This beer would be a great first step for people trying to get into craft beer. This is good.
I mean, I could drink... It's 5.5. It's delicious. I mean, this is a beer I could drink at a outside party, by the pool. It's in glass, though, but pour it in a cup.
Yeah.
Afternoon beer.
So I do think it is kind of artificial tasting.
Well, a little bit.
But it's good. Like,
but it's, right, it's not like in your face artificial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more subtle, and it works. Like, it's fine. It's not like, man, that's a lot of it, and it tastes artificial. Yeah. Like, it's very subtle. The residual in my mouth reminds me of the strawberry chapsticks from when I was a kid. Because it actually, like, I don't know, it has, like, a little bit of a petrol aftertaste along with it.
I'll tell you what, you know how to pick out flavors and ruin a beer for me.
I'm just trying to relate it to real life, and specifically my childhood real life.
Ugh.
So, but no, that's good.
I like it.
I dig it. Actually, I was going to look at it real quick and see if it says anything about natural versus artificial. It says natural, because it says at the bottom, ale brewed with strawberry and rhubarb juice, spices, and with natural flavor added. So it doesn't say anything about artificial, because usually it would, but... And then I'm also thinking, like, the strawberry versus rhubarb. Like, for me, rhubarb sometimes has a little bit of a plasticky flavor, and maybe that's what's making it artificial-ish. So, anyway, it's good beer. Moving on.
Moving on. Okay, our last beer is Lagunitas Lagunitas.
Lagunitas, Lagunitas. People However say it so many ways.
It. Tomato. It is a Citra hopped mega ale of intergalactic proportions called Supercluster. And I think that is hysterical and I love it. And
I think it just means hoppy.
Well, I don't care. I love it. And then it says, you are here on the speck of dust, three tiny rocks from the source, at the edge of something much larger. In the middle of something else, at the beginning of the end. It's a lot to wrap your head around. So take one sip at a time. Life is uncertain.
Okay.
And it's like wrapped around. I had to turn the bottle.
So ever since Lagunitas ended up being not independently owned, I don't think I had any of their beer. So I saw that this came in at Wine World and I was just like, you know what? I know a lot of people drink beer from this brewery. It's been a long time for me. I might as well. It's once again with the theme. It's been a long time, so I might as well check back in, see what they're doing.
Checking out.
I used to be a huge fan of their
Brown Sugar.
Lagunitas sucks.
Oh yeah.
Brown Sugar was good for a while too.
I like that cappuccino something or other.
Oh yeah, I think it's just called cappuccino, and it's like
this beer is 8%.
8%. These are higher.
I know. I'm already feeling it. It's also because we need to eat dinner.
Yeah. All right. So let's try the super cluster. One of the things about Lagunitas that really endeared itself to people as a brand is being very affordable. Mm-hmm. And that's something they always did strive for. And they're still super affordable. When people were putting out 22-ounce bottles that were like... you know, $12 and up, they were still putting out 22s that were like $8 to $10.
And what's the beer I liked by them in that purple can? Twas the night.
No. 12th Hour?
12th Hour.
12th Hour, yeah. That was good. It's like a pale ale, I think.
Yeah, it was nice. All right. This is so clear.
Yeah.
I think.
Super clear, very orange. Large bubbles on top.
This also smells... really good.
It smells like a West Coast IPA. It smells like there's a decent amount of bitterness. You can smell that Citra. It smells dank, as people would say, like dank. As Josh Rodriguez, if he was on here, would say, some of those marijuana notes on
is that
there.
What he says?
He would say that. Yeah. When you get that dank smell, he always says that. And I'm like, it doesn't smell like the hemp IPA by, who did that one? Oh, New Belgium.
Oh my
Yuck.
God.
The Hemper.
We were somewhere and that was on tap and I'm like, oh my God. No, people are drinking. Do not buy this.
You
want
to go and like knock the pints out of everyone's hand.
Like, don't do it. I'm saving you.
It's so bad. This smells good though.
I would love to meet a person who likes that beer.
Sure.
Just because you know there's always someone who likes a beer. You know what I mean? Yeah, like
sure. And just kind of get their feedback.
What other beers do you like? Because we're opposite.
Yeah, there's a lot of citrus, like orange in there. A little bit of, I feel like a little peach, honestly.
It feels like every fruit imaginable is in this beer.
Yeah, it's like a very citrusy fruity mashup.
It's like a fruit salad.
Yeah, with a decent amount of bitterness on the nose. Like, this is probably the most true smell of like a West Coast style IPA I've smelled in a while. Because I'm on the East Coast, and there are just a crazy amount of New England style IPAs right now. / hazy IPAs.
I like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. West Coast style. Straight up.
I'm not like huge into having the bitterness in the beer. I can see why some people do.
I like it. I like the bitterness.
So for me, it's a little bit too bitter.
Sure. That makes sense.
But it has, you know, that nice citrus notes up front, the bitterness on the back. It's a little drying.
There's a slight burn. Slight alcohol burn.
I don't feel that. I'm not getting that at all. And I feel like I'm super sensitive to like that.
It's a little, it's kind of syrupy.
Really?
It's not syrupy like the help
on
the way.
Oh, I disagree. I don't think it's syrupy at all.
Oh, it's a little syrupy. But that little bit of syrupiness plays with the bitterness well, and it's not crazy sweet.
Yeah.
So.
It's not sweet at all, that's for sure.
Mm. I like it. It's got good notes. It's a pretty tasty beer.
Hmm.
Mm. This is going to be a hard one to rank, I feel like. So as people could tell, there was an overall theme. Is the first one was one that I've pretty much had nothing from with the three stars in collaboration with Manor Hill. And then Southern Tier, Unibrew, and Lagunitas. I haven't had anything by them in years. Like, years.
Hmm.
So. I like the Super Cluster.
I'm like hardcore buzzing already.
Hmm. Well, I guess the gazpacho we're going to eat won't do a whole lot for you.
I was just going to say, and I don't think the soup and salad is going to do it for me.
Yeah.
But we do have a frozen pizza.
And we have Cheetos. Well, off-brand, Trader Joe's brand.
But you know what I'm craving? The hummus.
Oh, we do have some good hummus. But that's not going to do anything for your buzz either.
No, but the pretzel chips to eat the hummus.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The hummus is like regular hummus. It's from Trader Joe's. It's like regular hummus, cilantro hummus, and then like some sort of spicy something. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good. I started craving that mid-recording.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Okay. Do you need to taste more
I need to
of
take
anything?
That one.
Okay.
Did I say take that one?
Sure. Yes, you did.
Oh my god!
Here, do a quick rinse. I'll give you some more of that. Brothers got a hug. I went back to that real quick because I need to figure out where this needs to go in our lineup. There you go, it's a little for you. But I think I also need to drink the Ephemere again. Honestly, I may be saying that wrong as well because there's like
accents.
Yeah, there's like accent notes. Over the E's. Yeah. Ephemery? I don't know. Who knows what that really is. I've always said ephemery.
Brothers got a hug. Brothers got a hug is not...
You're not digging it as much?
No, I'm not.
Okay. We'll go back to this. Ephemery. Okay. All right. It's so tough.
Are we debating?
I'm debating all of them.
Oh, I'm not.
I mean, not like all equally. Like, there's certain ones where I'm like, that's definitely not number one. And yeah.
I have my number one and my number two. It's my three and my four.
Oh. I just went back to the
yeah, I don't like help it at all.
On the way, and just like that like sweetness just gets out of control so fast.
I feel like it like coats my teeth in like something weird, and like you know when you like eat something like really sugary, and then yeah. you like feel your teeth or like grind your teeth together, and you're like, yeah. this is, feels weird.
Yeah,
that's what that like, beer does it's to
like
me.
A film on there. So are you seeing my parallel now with like that fruit sugar syrup?
I guess I am because of my teeth. I feel like I need to brush my teeth.
Okay. I know where I'm going. I got my...
Okay, go ahead.
So, my number one is the Efemir, actually. That strawberry rhubarb Belgian wheat by Unibrew. That's nice. That's a nice beer. Like we said, great entry beer for people trying to get into craft beer. It's tasty. My number two's got to be the Lagunitas Supercluster, a nice West Coast style hoppy beer, good bitterness in there, really good, citrusy flavor up front, nice. Then I got to do the Brothers Got a Hug, Hazy IPA by Three Stars and Manor Hill. That is good for what it's supposed to be. And like we talked about, I think there's more bitterness to it than is normal with a hazy IPA, and I like that about it. And then my last one's got to be the Southern Tier, and that's like way, way, way last, because that thing is just way too sweet. I'm glad I tried it, though, because I'd kind of wondered from time to time, how do I feel about Southern Tier now, since I haven't had their stuff in a while? And I'm now reminded, yep, don't need to go back, really.
Well, I don't know if you can say that, because they do make some good beers, like the ones you named before. So I feel like you can't say, I don't need to go back.
I will go back for those. Well, no, but here's the thing. Like, those other ones that I cited as being pretty good, like, I would, there are other beers yes, I would rather get if I'm going for something like that.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know, well.
I'm sorry, I'm just, oh, and do we say...
That chocolate orange one, though, what was that? Just
chocolate orange is what it's called.
There's not another beer like that I know of.
I'm sure there is somewhere.
Well, not that I've had. So I would go back to that beer because didn't we do that blind or someone did a blind and it was really tasty?
No, I don't think it was blind. Was it blind?
I don't know.
You might be right because I think it was on... One of our decasodes, like I our big decasode tournaments, like, man, that was a long time ago. That
I
was
remember
years
pouring
ago.
It. Really?
Yes.
Oh my God, I feel like it was yesterday.
It would have been the Stouts decasode.
It's been a long time since you've hosted a decasode in our basement.
Well, because we don't record in the basement anymore because the acoustics kind of suck. It's much better here.
Yes, but it's been a long time since you've recorded a decasode with other people.
No, the number 200 was with Mike and... Or no, I'm sorry. I think it was Dan and Jason.
Oh, that was here.
Dan
yes,
Kim
it was.
And Jason Evans, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
Proven wrong. Why didn't
was
you...
Was I here? I didn't pour beer for that.
No,
I did.
I don't remember, honestly.
I think I did, and then I went upstairs, and I watched TV, and I was... Yeah,
I think what we're learning is that our memories suck.
Yeah, gosh, we're not even that old. I'm in my mid-30s, and Carlin's in late 30s. Right. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to do my ranking, which is exactly the same as yours.
Oh, exactly the same.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I feel like, so this is the sixth on the shelf episode we've done, and I feel like every one prior to this, we've just been like, it's just been different degrees of quite good with the beers. I think this is the first one where, like, we had a beer, we were just like,
being
the Southern Tier. But you know what? I want to get into more of that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be a little more bold because I feel like early on the shelf episodes, I was mainly like, this is what I think will be good. This is what I'm interested in. And I think going forward, we should do a little bit more of this, as in, yeah, I'm not sure if that's going to be good. Because you don't want to just hear what's good. You also want to know, hey, I was thinking about picking up that help on the way. How is that? And we're like, not so good, buddy.
Well, yeah. And again, like, it's really hard because it's just because I don't like it doesn't mean someone else isn't going to like it. You know what I mean? So, like, yes, this is what I like. Like, when I rank them, I rank, like, what do I want to drink again?
Right.
So, again, what do I want to drink again is going to be the...
The Ephemere.
Yes. You know,
and then the Supercluster.
And then I don't need any of these two.
I agree. And part of the reason...
I have no desire to drink either of them again. And I almost would rank them equally. Because I don't...
Not me.
I don't care for either of them.
I think the Brothers Got a Hug's way better than the Help on the Way. Way better. But for me, I don't want to go back to Brothers Got a Hug. I mean, I'll drink it now, but I mean, I wouldn't buy it again just because there are so many New England style IPAs out there and other types of IPAs out there that I would just rather have.
Oh, yeah.
It's
just...
But
I don't need to drink either of those. We're probably dumping these two.
Right.
Drink these two.
But what you were, I want to go back to what you were saying about people's preferences.
Oh,
like,
right.
Even though we don't like it, there's going to be someone out there or a bunch of people who will like it. That's why I say in the episodes in the beginning when I was talking about if you like what you hear, you know, it's not necessarily did we like it or hate it. It's from the descriptors we're giving you about how it smells and how it tastes. Does that sound good to you?
Right.
So.
Well, I think that's true for everything, you know, like I think that's why. I don't want you to say, I'm never going to buy a Southern Tier beer again or never this brewery or that brewery. Because there's a ton of breweries out there where it's like, I like one beer by them.
Well, no, or, I am saying, though, if I'm at a liquor store and I'm buying beer, I am not going to buy Southern Tier beers. Because there's so many breweries out there. I'm not going to do it. And
I hear what you're saying, but also at the same time, like, there are a ton of breweries where it's like, I like... this style from this brewery and this style from this brewery and anyway, I need to eat.
Yeah. Go get your gazpacho and salad.
Oh God.
Maybe hummus.
I was going to have such like a healthy, like fresh dinner, but.
Well, you probably still are.
Yeah. But I feel like I need frozen pizza.
Something starchy.
Yeah.
We have raw potatoes. You can just munch on a raw potato if you need to.
I did that.
That's fine.
I did do that when I was younger.
What?
Yeah.
Rebecca's from Pennsylvania, you guys. That's
you. Anytime I do anything strange, Carlin's like, she's from Pennsylvania. But I remember my dad, like, cutting raw potatoes to make, like, homemade French fries. I remember just eating them and loving them. But then I read somewhere or heard somewhere that you're not supposed to do that.
I think it only matters if they're green.
Yeah, I don't know. We would just put, like, salt on them and just eat, like, sliced raw potatoes.
Was that just a way for your dad to get out of cooking stuff?
No, we would eat some while he cooked things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Is it?
It's very weird to me, eating raw potatoes.
Have you ever done that?
No.
Oh.
A lot of the things you tell me about with your Pennsylvania upbringing, I've never done or heard of. It's like another country or planet.
That's not true.
How often were you in a Rural King when you were a kid?
Never. Only one time as an adult.
That joke's for Kyle and Kelly Norman.
Anyway. Okay. Well, we're going to go try to figure out what we're going to eat for dinner.
Yes. And finish some of these beers. But thank you, everyone, for checking this out. If you have ideas of beers that you want us to do for some on-the-shelf episodes... just let us know if there's something you've been eyeing up. You can just send an email and be like, hey, I've really been wondering about this beer, and I don't want to commit to buying it until I've heard what it's like.
But Carlin will commit.
I will commit. Just email us, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com.
It's true.
But until next time.
Keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.